Earl Wayne Ballou. How are you, man?
Man, I'm doing well. Good to be back, man.
Yeah. Thanks for coming back, man. You were here before. We talked about music, what inspired you to write music, touch base on the clusters, Bigfoot, missing people. But then we also talked about prison rodeo.
Yes, sir.
Right. So you're back because I wanted you back. I'm back too, but it's awesome that, you know, you were like, yeah, I'll come back. And I'm trying to come back too, because of all the stuff and the madness in my household, not my household, but my family. And yeah, so I thank you for giving me a shot to come back.
Man, no worries at all. I'm glad to be here.
We're going to talk about one thing and one thing only. The movie, A Flash of Beauty, Paranormal Bigfoot.
Sir.
You have convictions. You know, the convict cowboys and then Bigfoot. You made it known that you're into Bigfoot. You're a believer, right?
Yes, sir.
There are people who are believers, and then there are people who are non-believers. I'm skeptical. I'm not saying I'm not a non-believer, but I need to see it for myself.
A lot of people are like that. They really
yes.
are.
Yes. Yes. I know in the past, ancient times, back in before man, there were people or things out there that were bipedal, very hairy.
Gigantopithecus yes. erectus blackie, I think is the name yes. of the ape they're assuming is maybe Bigfoot.
Yes, and I'm glad you said it, because, you know, I don't have a scientific mind and tongue. So thank you.
I hope I got that right too, but I think I did.
Yes. And I guess that what you said, the Gigantopithecus, is Yeti of the Himalayas and Sasquatch of Pacific Northwest.
Rumor is they're all the same species, or a shoot off of the same species.
And was the species the Paranthropus robustus with gorilla-like crested skull and bipedal gait only found in Africa?
In Asia, from what I understand.
Okay.
I think that's where they found the fossil, was in Asia, I think. But that's okay. Where, yes, sir, that's where it all comes together.
Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about that, because this movie, I saw it twice. I saw it first time when you told me to see it, when, like, right afterwards, right after our last one, right? When it first came out.
Yes, sir.
And then I watched it again this past weekend. And I'll be honest with you, this is the first time I ever heard of Bigfoot being paranormal.
And that is where, this is where some people are listening to it that know me, they're going to say, oh, Wayne ran off the rails. But that's what I think. Okay. I think Bigfoot is not entirely of this earth.
Okay. Yes. And, you know, I'm starting a little early, real fast, or going fast real early. The cloaking, the shape-shifting, and also out of this world kind of thing. Some of those things I question, especially the cloaking, like right. predator movie features.
Right. And that's been reported for a long time. And eyewitnesses, there's a lot of credible eyewitnesses out there, man. And I'm sure some of them are mistaking some sightings for a bear. I would be willing to bet probably 75% of them are. Mm-hmm. But when you have a credible witness, like the police officer in the movie Flash of Beauty, Paranormal Bigfoot,
yeah,
he's seeing something. He goes, but that can't be real, because that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And it just dissipates. And my feeling on it is, it's a form of energy that they can just come in and out of this dimension. You know, Einstein right. said we have several dimensions. Different dimensions. You know, the membrane theory, you know, we're only separated just by a little. I'm not a scientist, so I'm trying to talk smart, but I'm really not. But I right. understand kind of in theory what he meant by the membrane theory. And mm-hmm. it really seems to me that these guys, whatever they are, can go in between dimensions without any problem.
Like interstellar kind of stuff?
Yep. Yes, sir. That's how come sometimes you'll see in the remote backcountry, in the way out in the middle of BFE, yeah, you'll see just one footprint, nothing else.
Okay.
And again, this isn't my original theory, but to me, it seems like whatever this is comes into our world, takes one step, and then goes right back into wherever it was going.
Okay. All right. And you're sticking with it.
I'm sticking with it. Yes, sir. And again, people might think, oh, Wayne's lost his mind, but I've thought about this a long time, and I think it has a lot to do with the Nephilim from Genesis. I really do think it's something along those lines.
Okay. I'm pretty sure somebody who's going to listen, because, you know, I am back and you're back too, and I'm happy you're back. I am. People are probably going to dissect this podcast and be like, okay, what's this? What did you just say? What verse?
it's in Genesis, and it's the Nephilim. That's the fallen angels. They came to Earth and they mated with human women and produced a race of giants.
Okay. All right.
I know it's out there, man. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just trying to gather my thoughts and Brett Eichenberger. He's the director. Now, there are some people out there that have put some claims out there. What gives him the pass of putting this stuff on there, putting the spotlight, and not be questioned like some people who bring up science and don't agree with regular scientists kind of thing?
Now, I haven't had too many face-to-face conversations with Brett, but I do on social media, I follow it, and a lot of people call him out on it.
Yeah.
And I've never asked him what his experience was or why he believed so firmly.
Okay.
But I do know people have called him out on social media, you know, in the comments, you know, the keyboard warriors, and but everybody's entitled to their opinion too, because like you said, there's not one in the zoo. There's not a body found, you know, so people have their right to their opinions on this, because this is really kind of heady stuff.
Yeah. Like heady. When I think of heady, I think of, you know, a massive trip.
Right.
Okay. To put it lightly, I'm just saying, it's like, dude, you know, the people in there, it's like, man, you were on some shrooms, some psychedelics, maybe some, you know, for real. And I don't know, but we'll get to that. So back to the science, Brett. He's getting called out in social media.
Well, but I don't know if he's getting called out. I've just seen some comments that they're going, there's no way this is true. There's no way this is real. Stuff like that. And just that kind of call out. I've never heard his credibility. He's always been just a straight up dude for me. And, you know, I respect him immensely.
Right. And I'm not saying he's not, but I feel when people talk about Bigfoot, hardly anybody calls them out. You know, for instance, you know, the guy from Fire in the Sky.
Travis Wilson, yes, sir.
Yes, that story. Just, you know, Graham Hancock has been fighting scientists for years saying, hey, there was an ancient civilization. Here's proof. And they're saying, no, it's this, you know, it's during this time. But he's saying it's earlier or later than what they're actually saying.
Right.
So they're questioning his credibility. And I'll be honest, I believe that more than I do the paranormal. You know,
well, I tell you, I'm lucky enough to know a real research scientist. He was a good buddy of mine back in Dallas, and he is a PhD, one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. And he once told me, we were having a few whiskeys, and he once told me, he goes, you know, sometimes scientists don't want to open their mind to the possibility of anything outside of their own theory.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah,
they got their theory. They got what they believe, and they got a good hypothesis. They believe in it, you know, because a lot of this stuff is all theory.
Right.
you know, if you think about it, a lot of this stuff is theory, you know, like when was the earth created? When was the universe created?
Right.
People throw out these years, billions of years. The Bible says 10,000 years. You know, nobody really knows, and there's no way to prove it.
Right.
So everybody has their theory, you know, scientists included, and some of these are hills they die on.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because, I mean, the theories were spoon-fed to them while in school.
Yes, sir. I think so. But that always stuck with me when he told me that. He goes, yeah, a lot of scientists, they get stuck on their own thesis or whatever, and they don't change.
But to annihilate somebody else's theory as much as they have with Graham, towards Graham, it's kind of against what they believe.
I agree 100%. Right? Okay. I've read his book. It was a while back, but I did read it. And his claims are just phenomenal. But like you said, he has, it seems like, the evidence to back this up.
Yeah, the ancient Missoula flood. I live in, it's in my backyard. You can't right. tell me something catastrophic did not happen.
Right.
I live in the Scavlands, dude. There's no way in heck, you know, it just appeared that way. No. So the movie, you play a role, a big role, because you had your music at the end of the movie in the credits.
I am, like I told you, I think I'm beyond honored that they picked my song to go in there. I was extremely still kind of speechless sometimes, to be honest with you. And the funny thing is, everything I wrote in that song, I wrote it 5 years ago, and it tied into the movie quite well. And I didn't know anything that was going to be in the movie. And again, I just I can't thank those guys enough for giving me the opportunity to have my music in it.
Yeah. How did they know about you, or how did you even get your song in their movie?
When the first movie came out, A Flash of Beauty, Bigfoot Revealed, mm-hmm. my wife and I loved it. And right. my wife picked up on the fact that, she goes, hey, that's our dump. They're actually at our dump where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, bullshit. And there's no way, that's not our dump. And she reached out to him on social media, and sure enough, it was our dump. And then I said, well, hell, I'm going to reach out to him and see if he wants to hear my song. And right. That's how I get most of my dumb luck, is just emailing somebody or reaching out to them saying, hey, my name's Wayne Ballou. I wrote a song that really would go well with your, with your story. Would you be interested in hearing it? And he said, send it. And I did. And I guess they liked it. Okay.
Yeah. How's the music career going right now?
I have so many irons in the fire. I don't even know where to, I got to start pulling them out here soon. I'm supposed to be going to Austin here in a couple of months to record a couple of songs for different projects. And man, I am excited as hell about it.
Okay. We won't talk about that.
And we're finishing up the Convict Cowboy CD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So lots of irons in the fire. So the music's going really well.
All right. What's your next concert? Do you have one lined up this year?
We are working on that right now, and it'll be here in Southern Oregon.
Okay. All right. I was just wondering if you're going to go see Chris Stapleton, man.
Oh, man. Isn't he amazing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is. So congrats on that song, man. That's pretty cool to know. And to just tell the wife, hey, you hear that?
Well, thank you very much. It meant a lot to me. So I thank Brett and Jill and their team very much for letting me use my music in there.
Yeah. So shout out to them. And having that music in there, and just telling my wife, hey, I know this guy. This guy was on my podcast. We're buds. We talk often.
Well, if the movie Convict Cowboy comes out, we might have another one on there, the one Zach and I wrote. So okay. Crossing my fingers still.
Okay. All right. So Science and Paranorman. Not Norman. That's the movie. I watched it with my girls all the time. Paranormal. Sorry. Do they go hand in hand?
That's a really good question. Quantum science, you know, Ron Moorhead is a big believer in that. And I have to agree with him. And that, I think that there's a thin line that separates the two. I really do think there's a very thin line. There's just so much out there. I think we just haven't wrapped our head around. We don't understand yet. Okay. And one of the things I've always, what I tell my people back in Texas is, you know, because they make, God, they make fun of me about this Bigfoot shit. They just hammer me religiously about them. And I just tell them, I'm like, you know what? What does the octopus, that's the animal I go to. I'm like, just think, if the octopus can change its environment, change its texture of its outer, it's not a shell or whatever an octopus is made out of. It can change its appearance to blend in to just about any environment. And they can change their texture. Who's to say there's not another animal out there that can do that?
Okay. All right. Another question. You're going to get a lot of questions on a question. Sure. Why is Bigfoot known as Yeti, but brown? Pacific Northwest brown.
It can be like the polar bear. Mm-hmm. You know, the polar bear versus a grizzly. It's, you know, the Yeti is over in the Himalayas.
Yes.
And maybe it's, you know, the snow conditions.
Why isn't Bigfoot shared as being cloaked in a shapeshifter, going in other dimensions, you know, almost like Predator, like that guy said in the movie?
Right. I use the octopus as an example of okay. What they can do. Now, obviously, that's not supernatural, because an octopus right. is not supernatural, although there's been theories that it came from outer space, because there's not many things like it in the world, if you think right. about it. But, you know, the indigenous people, when this goes back thousands and thousands of years, you know, when they told stories about the raven and the wolf and the bear, yeah. they also brought up the hairy man. So right. why on, I can't wrap that around my head, why they would bring up these real animals.
Right.
And the hairy man's not a real animal. So, and I think they knew, you know, that there's portals out there, that, you know, there's ways to get in between worlds, and we just haven't figured it out yet.
Okay. All right. So with paranormal, man, I'm really going to catch myself paranormal. I'm glad I did, but I'm just going to admit, man, paranormal. Anyway, so sorry. And I think the thin line is, well, science is knowledge of anything. Paranormal is what the it's non-scientific bodies of knowledge. So I believe it's whose existence within these contexts is described as being beyond the scope of normal scientific study.
Right.
But science is knowledge of anything.
Yes, sir.
So it's science.
Yeah. I just don't think we've caught up to it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I know it sounds like double talk, because but I think it sounds like double talk, but it really is. I just don't think we have caught up yet.
Yeah.
Because think about this. Here's another example. You know, I use the octopus. And just think, if this is, okay, let's say it's a biological creature. It's not supernatural, not paranormal. It's just a biological creature that's been around as long as we have.
Yeah, knowledge of anything and the testing theories against evidence obtained. So, yeah, that's the thin line, man.
Yes, sir.
It's like,
and I do think it's a very thin line. And again, I just don't think we've gotten there yet.
When do you think we'll get there, man?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. I think ever since 47, when they started reverse engineering that down craft in New Mexico, our technology has just spiked. It's really gone crazy ever since then, if you think about it. And I think the more we understand the alien technology, the more science evolves more quickly.
Okay. That's another episode, okay?
Yo, sorry about that.
No, it's okay, because this movie even put in UFO, you know, the just shape-shifting. That's another thing. I mean, it just put everything in perspective. But then when I see Bigfoot, I see Bigfoot. I believe Bigfoot is the hairy man, not a shape-shifter, not predator cloaking, no orbs. I see Bigfoot, the mysterious Yeti who only people, certain people seen.
Right. And that's where I was going with that. I'm very sorry. I do remember.
Nope, go for it.
Let's just say Bigfoot is biological. He's a real animal.
Yep.
If I remember this correctly, for hundreds of years in the Congo, the locals would tell outsiders about these gorillas that existed in the Congo. Everybody thought they were crazy. They're like, there's no way these silverback gorillas exist. Low mountain gorillas, I think they called. And sure enough, in 1904, they were discovered. Mm-hmm. Now, this has been going on for hundreds of years, saying, hey, these animals exist. So just think, if Bigfoot is, you take out the paranormal aspect of it, and if Bigfoot is a biological animal, and he can actually have an ability like the octopus to blend into his environment, mm-hmm. there ain't a chance in hell we found him. That could just sum it up right there. If it took them hundreds and hundreds of years to finally find the lowland gorilla, and there's no magical traits to the gorilla, but if Sasquatch can change his DNA, their DNA, because there's obviously him and her, if they can change their DNA to blend into their environment like the octopus, mm-hmm. that's or the cuttlefish, that's huge. I mean, that changes the game completely.
Well, that one lady in Western Washington in the movie that I was talking about, that, you know, seemed like she was earthy, you know, talking about getting grounded and everything else. You know, just grounding herself with nature and everything else. She talks about him. She always refers Bigfoot as he and him. She wanted to bring in pronouns for Bigfoot.
Right.
And why? Because only see he's?
Well, the Gimlin Patterson film was a female. The one they back in 67, that was a female. That's where they got the name Patty from. I don't know. I think if I remember correctly, because it's been a couple of months since I've seen the film, I think she said he and his son are the only ones allowed to communicate with me.
That's right.
And I don't know what that meant. I don't know if in this tribe he's the leader, in another tribe of females, I don't know, but that's how I kind of took it. And, you know, that makes me think, you know, that mind speak, that's not a new idea. I'm a huge Les Stroud fan. I really appreciate what he does. Right. And on his podcast, he told me this happened, or he didn't tell me, I'm sorry. He told the listener that this happened to him, that he's out there looking for him. He's in the middle of BFE nowhere. Nobody's with him. And he says in his mind, as clear as day, it says, if you want to see me, come around the corner. Or if you want to see us, come around the corner. We're over mm-hmm. here. And he said in the podcast, he goes, I didn't know what to think. Am I going crazy? Am I losing it? This is Les Stroud saying this.
Yeah, yeah.
The Survivor Man.
Yeah, and did he get a lot of flack for that?
I don't know. I don't know. It was on his podcast. And I don't know how popular his podcast is. It's not Joe Rogan. But mm-hmm. if you follow nature and that kind of stuff, I would assume you listen. He said he didn't go. I don't know if he used the word got scared, so I don't want to say that, but he was very shook about it.
Yeah.
And again, it's we listened to it and I had to listen to it twice. I'm like, he said he heard a voice in his head, clear as bell, if you want to see us, come over here.
Okay. All right.
So maybe there is something to it. You know, he didn't say if it was a boy or a girl foot talking to him, but maybe there is something to that.
I got it. And my belief and my theory, you're out in the woods by yourself or for amount of time, let's say a day, let's say 15 hours, you haven't seen anyone, and daytime turns into night, nighttime turns into day, whatever hours you're in there. I for a fact know you start hallucinating, man. You start becoming delirious, even though, you know, you eat, you know, you got some good rest, you know, prior to your adventure, you start being a little delirious. And I haven't heard anything, but I do, like, did I just see that? You know, that kind of thing. Right. Kind of. So I can see where they're coming from, but the hearing part, man, maybe I'm just blaring my music. I'm not sure, but I don't know, man. If somebody's actually talking to me and they're not real, then man, I'm going to quit running, dude.
and I was about to say, you go on these runs for hours at a time. Yeah. And I don't know. And let me tell you something, brother. I have been scared to ask a question. And I'm being honest here. I've been scared when I've been out in the wilderness to ask the question, are you here? Inside my head.
Yeah. Okay.
But I've not heard anything. I have not had anything communicate with me. I've had a couple of dreams that are really, really, they still stick with me to this day. I don't remember many dreams, but I remember those. But other than that, I've been really nervous about asking that question, as I want to. I just haven't had the guts to do it yet, I guess.
Well, I don't know if you've listened to Scott Jenkins and another ultra runner. God, I forgot his name. I follow him. But Scott Jenkins, a UK runner, dude, he's one of the greatest. He basically just, you know, gave us a whole story on how he was talking to a witch and seeing things, you know, in the midst of was Mount St. Helens woods there, that park, National Forest. And yeah, man, that's convincing. That's crazy. So I don't know, man. I think delirium and just exhaustion could play a part, and not seeing somebody for days can also play a part.
And I think you're right on the money with that too. So I think you hit the nail on the head. That has to be some of it.
Yeah.
But Les Stroud was pretty convincing on that podcast when he said that. And again, I have all the respect for Les for what he does. He's a musician as well. Oh, okay. And he really is the survivor, man, you know? So that was pretty, that hit me in the gut pretty hard. I was like, wow, that's hardcore shit right there.
Yeah. I have to check that out. I want to see if he got any backlash on that too.
I did not hear anything like that. And again, the backlash, I say backlash, that's not the right word, but I know on the social media, some people were like, there's no way this is real. You know, going on the Flash of Beauty webs or the threads, and they weren't rude about it. Thank goodness. Cause you know, people can get ugly on social media, but that's their right not to, you know, until one's put on the table, you know, it ain't going to be ever me. It won't be me. If I ever get lucky enough to see one, and if I have a firearm on me, which I usually do, it won't be me.
All right. Now, turn of events, dude, the orbs. I'm not convinced, man. I'm not convinced of that paranormal yet, man. The orbs.
I need to send you a video I have.
Okay. Send me a video. The one person that was convincing was in David Politi's missing or hunted, 411 missing and then hunted, one of them. When that lady hunter in Indiana was looking, that was convincing. But how long was she up there for?
Exactly. And that was really, really strange. It really was. Yes. And I think the orbs goes back to the paranormal. This is, you know, when they get ready to take off or whatever, they're trying to generate energy. they turn in. This is where it gets really kind of weird, and that's where people really back home make a lot of fun of me, is it's just energy. I mean, we're all energy, but mm-hmm. I think they have a way to go to that next world. They have to gear up and they turn into that ball and they take off.
Yeah. So my question to you, kind of personal, when did you start believing this, man?
Probably my early 20s. I saw the Patterson-Gimlin film and I started researching it, and I saw the, they're theorizing the Gigantopithecus came over on the land bridge from Russia to Bering Strait, down to Alaska. And something didn't sit right with me on that, because again, the gorillas were found in 1904 in the Congo, but these were people on foot looking for them. Now we have all of this technology, and this is back 30 years ago, and we haven't been able to find anything. Mm-hmm. And I've had some supernatural experiences in Dallas. The house we lived in mm-hmm. was haunted as hell. And my wife laughed at me. She called me crazy. She goes, "You drinking again?" This type of stuff. Until one night she heard something and it changed her mind, at least. She didn't see what I saw, but she kind of got to witness some of it at the end. And she is now like, "There's some things I don't know how to describe. I don't know what I just heard or how this is possible, but there's some weird stuff going on here."
Okay. When did you solidify that you were a believer? Were you down there or were you up in Pacific Northwest?
I was down there. I was back in Texas still.
Have you, just another personal question, have mm-hmm. you disclosed on the podcast what you used to do?
No, I haven't. And I don't mind talking about it. I was a police officer in Dallas, Texas.
Okay. For how many years?
14.
14.
And I've been a police officer total 20.
Okay. I'm not a science fiction guy. And I know you didn't see science fiction stuff while serving. So thank you for your service. But you know the difference from real or fake, correct?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So when people say, "Dude, you might be a little nuts," or you, I question, the people back home, as you said, they question you, that kind of thing. What are your thoughts? How do you feel?
Half of the people that would make fun of me were police officers, and they would just give me unholy shit. But here's the funny thing. After everybody got through making fun of me and I would stand my ground, I was like, "Man, old Wayne ain't backing up. This is just what I believe."
Yeah.
I ain't saying it's God's honest truth. I'm just saying it's a theory. I think something's out there more than what we know. And everybody would start breaking up, going their own ways, going out to start the day. And without fail, every time one or two people would come up, officers would come up to me and go, "Hey, I think you're right. I think there's something out there. I don't know what it is, but I think you're right. But I ain't going to say it in front of these guys."
And were they messing with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a good we all had a good relationship there. And I miss those guys so much. That was one of the hardest things about leaving. But yeah, they ribbed me all the time. And when I told them I was retiring early, coming up to the PNW, number one, they go, "Why the hell are you going to Oregon?" And I go, "Have you ever been there? It's incredibly beautiful. Politics aside, the state is just amazing."
Oh, yeah.
And my wife and I are huge outdoors people, and they would just go, "Man," they'd make fun of me, just rib me. But again, I shit you not, man, I'd have another one or two come up to me and go, "Hey, you find something, you call me."
Okay. Now, when growing,
I think a lot of people are just scared to voice their opinion out loud sometimes,
I got you. When growing up, did you watch, or are you a big fan, or were you a big fan of sci-fi movies, man?
Man, I'm sure you probably heard these stories all the time, but I grew up poor white trash in Central Texas, and we only had two channels, and we didn't have cable, didn't have, VCR for the longest time. So I think my first experience for that was Star Wars. And obviously I love Star Wars like everybody else, but that was about as far as my sci-fi went.
Okay. Anything else out of the ordinary in and around Star Wars since Star Wars came out?
Not really. I don't know about, really don't watch much sci-fi stuff.
Okay. When Fire in the Sky came out, what were your thoughts?
Never seen the movie. I read the book years ago. Mm-hmm. And it there's only could be three things, I think, in my opinion, my humble opinion, by the way. He's faking it. Mm-hmm. It's aliens. Mm-hmm. Or it's our government.
Yes. Okay.
The three. Well, there can only be three things, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not going to say our government doesn't have that type of technology because Bob Lazar says they do, but
yes,
I still think that this is stuff that just random stuff that happens to selected people.
But why a logger? Wasn't he from Roseburg?
It was, I
in
believe
Roseburg.
So.
Yeah, it was, yes, in Roseburg.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have maybe it's something that some of us is like a genetic lottery. Maybe if there's 100 people out there in the woods and if this is going to happen, they're looking for one type of individual with a certain DNA that they can detect that we can't, you know, I don't know. That's a good question.
The movie was quite vivid, man. It's chilling. And it also gave me nightmares because I was at that age. I was like, dude, no way. I can't watch this, man. That's the same year X-Files came out. You know, you're like, no, that guy stretching down the drain, you know, morphing. Yeah, dude, no. You know what I mean? It's just
I'm a huge X-Files guy.
Okay.
And I have to say, you know,
there you go.
You know, I don't know. X-Files. I don't know. Had some weird stuff, man.
Gotcha. You don't think it's all made up?
A lot of it, it's based on real, at least at first, it was based on real FBI right. cases.
Okay.
I want to know how Chris Carter and the writers of The Simpsons predicted the future so accurately on so many things.
Okay.
You know, have you ever seen that? The Simpsons, how they foretold the future?
Yeah.
And Chris Carter's done a pretty good job with the pandemic and a lot of other things. It's kind of like, oh, geez.
Right. Okay. All right. I'm getting what you're putting down. So Fire in the Sky might be a hoax. Bigfoot, people bring up Bigfoot. They automatically assume you're either batshit crazy or delirious like I like to say, you're delirious. There's no way, right? But then aliens are coming around, UFOs, or what's the new name for it?
UAPs, right?
Yeah, UAPs. People are speaking up and people are starting to believe what they say. But then the people like the government, let's say the government, the conspiracies and stuff like that are behind it. Basically shunning everyone that used to work with them that believe, hey, or state something the government is hiding. But then there's video
right.
of the pill in the ocean. You know what I mean? Yep. And it's just like, how can you explain that? And then whoever speaks up on it, they're shunned.
Right. And I was also ridiculed quite a bit for my alien beliefs. I do believe that we're not alone. I've been saying that for a long time. And that, my friend, I've been a believer since I was a little kid. And this is the reason why. You know, I grew up in a very religious little town and went to church a lot. And I noticed in the Old Testament and a lot of paintings by the great masters of yesterday, they have a lot of UFO stuff in them. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of Leonardo's paintings, they have things in there, you know, little chariots drawn and little disc and whatnot that are kind of in the corner of the painting for some reason, especially with the Madonna and, you know, Enoch and Ezekiel. I mean, what are these things they're seeing in the sky?
Right.
You know, and that caught my attention right away. And I'd ask my mom and dad and they'd go, no, that's just their imagination, I guess. But that stuck with me. And ever since then, and then finding out about the Egyptians with the stuff that looks like a helicopter written in the Great Pyramids.
Right.
And that I've been a believer of aliens much longer than Bigfoot, actually.
Okay.
And they could be one and the same. I mean, that's, again, we don't really know that, right?
Well, if they're considering it being predator, cloaking, shape-shifting, other dimensions, I mean, that explains a lot of the UFOs.
So yes, sir, like, that would.
Okay. Why, when people say Bigfoot, they're either crazy and people don't believe it. But people, when somebody says they believe in Bigfoot, it's almost like, hey, I'm vegan. And they believe Bigfoot's there. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they don't get flack like they do with ancient civilization, other things, you know? Why is that?
I don't know. Like I told you, in Texas, at least, I got ridiculed every time I opened my mouth about it. Okay. And I haven't been back to Texas very often. And when I do, it's usually just on low key mode. I'm not around a lot of people besides my family. So, and when we go down to Louisiana, same thing. I know I got ridiculed the hell out of it. They just loved it. So I think they do. The people that talk about it. And I think when you turn your back and walk away, they're going, there's that crazy son of a bitch right there, you know, and it doesn't bother me one bit. Doesn't bother me one bit that if people think I'm a little odd, I do know that I don't hear things. I don't have a mental illness that I'm aware of. I'm a pretty good, honest dude. Well,
you can't be a cop if you do.
That's what they say. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. But it's just there to me is there's always been an energy in the woods, especially up here in the Pacific Northwest. I feel it all the time. My wife does too, actually. And she's not a believer. She's an optimistic skeptic, I think she says, but she's not a believer. And she'll tell me the same things when we're out there in the middle of nowhere. She goes, you can feel an energy you don't feel anywhere else. And right. To me, again, that's kind of how Bigfoot travels. It's energy.
I always feel the energies a bear or a cougar or some sort of predator. Yeah,
that's a good energy to feel too.
Staring at me or hawking me down.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your what's on your agenda for trails, man? This year, and have you got them?
I'm just now starting to work on it. I'm recovering from an excruciatingly painful hamstring tear.
Ooh.
And I am just now getting to where I'm back to where I'm about to start running again. And we are looking around Mount Hood. You know, I love that damn place. And we're also looking down in Southern Oregon. And I'm going to start hitting them as soon as I get rehabbed enough where I can. And I've just now started making a list. So if you have any good ones you'd like to send over to me.
Yeah. What part of Southern Oregon? Is it the I-5 corridor or east?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, I-5 corridor. And we are thinking about trying to get over to Bend. I'd like to go over to Sisters.
Okay. All right. Get it before the permit system starts again, or before it starts. I think it starts in May, but it's tough to get in those parts before then because of the snow and road closures and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
But if you don't want that hassle, dude, you do it when you can try to beat the crowd and the permit system.
Good advice. Like I told you last time, I got a lot to learn about the trails here, when to go, where to go.
Yeah, stay away from the permits, man.
Gotcha.
I think that's a hoax. That's a way of the government saying, hey, let's pay for some fun, you know what I mean? And it's like, what do you use that for? Who knows?
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of the missing, we're gonna be back at Crater Lake in August, I believe. And I know besides Yosemite, that's the most I think that's the second most national park that people just disappear in.
Yeah. So that reminds me, we got to talk about the clusters eventually. I really believe in that. Okay. When they bring up paranormal and missing, no. But I do believe in people disappearing because shit happens on the trail.
That's true.
So,
do you think it's animal or human?
I think it's both.
Okay.
Also,
I think a lot of it's probably animal, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
Cats are good.
Oh yeah, they are
big cats. They're stealthy, and it's the. But then again, though, Bud, on the hunters, you don't find a rifle. You don't find a bow. You know, if an animal's going to get you,
yeah,
you're going to drop that. You might not lose any other clothing, but you're going to drop your rifle. You're going to drop your bow.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't find any of that stuff.
David brings up a good point, though, man. You know, the hypothermic stages. You know, if you watched Everest, you watched that movie Everest, the latest one.
Yep.
Did you notice right before they died, or when they were up there, they were freezing to death. They wanted to take off their clothes.
Around recently about hypothermia that you'll strip down naked for some reason.
Yeah, and recently somebody got caught up in Mount Hood, right? And they did the same thing. Luckily they survived, but dude, they probably got blue limbs and fingers and stuff like that. But
right.
Yeah, man, some of that stuff is real, but I feel they come unprepared and delirious because of being unprepared, and that theory they want to go north, go up the mountain instead of down is quite relevant in that one. So,
and I think you're right. 95% of the time, I do believe between what you just said, the animal attacks, I still think there's a 5% of something. I want to say portals, like over at Skinwalker, there's something that's not natural that you just, the right time at the right place, and you take a step, and then shit, I'm in a where the hell am I type of thing. Right.
So I gotta say something, man. I'll be in Salem for a 24-hour run. You're gonna know where I'm coming from right now, all right? And what I'm gonna propose.
Okay.
I got a 24-hour run in Salem. Afterwards, and this is during summertime, so I don't work during summertime. I normally hit the mountains and whatever I can to get, you know, my fix.
Right.
I want you to take me out in BFE in that area where those people were, and let's just spend the night out there, dude.
That happened. The ending happened right several miles from my house.
Okay.
So the ending of The Flash of Beauty, that happened in Coquille, Oregon.
Okay.
And that's where I live. And yeah, right, we've been out there. And let me tell you, the locals around here, they have opened up to my wife, because my wife works in healthcare. They have opened up to my wife. They have opened up to me. And a lot of people around here said, we have seen what they're talking about. And a lot of other people have said, we have heard things that we know what bears sound like. We know what cougars sound like. Right. These are good working people around here. And they go, we don't know what that was we heard. And where the ending took place at, I have two people I work with that go, I know exactly where that is. I know exactly what they've been seeing, because we've seen it too.
Yeah. I've been out there. I used to work out in Coos Bay. So I've been out there.
So I don't know, man. Again, nothing has happened to me personally.
Okay. Well, would you be down?
Yes, sir. Oh, heck yeah.
I'm not going to say it, but you give me three destinations or three parts or places to go. I'll pick one and tell you last minute and be like, meet me here, and we'll do that.
That sounds like a plan to me, bud.
Because I don't want anybody. What do you think? Hey, man, he's going to fix it up, or, you know, people thinking that, you know, you're going to set me up for something, because, you know, that's how people do. That's how people
think that, unfortunately. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. So you give me three destinations. I'll pick one last minute out after my race, so I can be like hallucinating, you know, or just my theory. And we can just go balls to the wall, try to see some shit.
Sounds good to me, man. I'm down.
You're okay with that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. All right.
Get on that horse and ride, man.
That's what I'm going to do, man. I got it. That's going to be, I believe that's my last race of the season. So, or the year that I signed up for. So yeah, definitely going to be worth it. And I'll be like, hey, I'm taking a detour and t- tell my wife, I'm going to go try to see Bigfoot or something out there.
Well, like I said, man, I've never seen it either. So I don't, that would be something though. We, you know, if we did see it, we couldn't tell nobody because nobody would believe us because they thought we made it up.
Batshit crazy. Yep.
Well, I've been called that for a long time, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, but, well, you know, if it happens, dude, I'm telling people. Like,
you're telling people?
Hell yeah, I am, because I'm not a believer in, you know, of that stuff, you know, that what we're talking about. But
right,
certain things do add up. And man, if there's a sound out there that was in that movie, oh dude.
Real quick, bud, how do you disprove that? Where this was back in 1971, where Ron Moorhead recorded these sounds in the Sierras,
right,
that linguists have listened to, and they go, that's not human.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was before digital tape and all this stuff. And I don't know. And that sure sounded kind of, that was crazy. That's all I can say.
I know bobcats make the weirdest sounds too, but man, those are like what they recorded. What he recorded was not bobcat at all.
That was not a bobcat. I couldn't tell you what it is. But I do agree with that when they said it sounded like people talking, two of them talking to one another. That it, I can completely hear that. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's that's really interesting. Ron Moorhead has a lot of interesting theories of quantum physics. And I agree a lot with what he says. I really respect his forthright and his research on the field, you know. And again, man, Einstein said all this was possible as well. You know, the time travel, the dimensions, there's just a lot of stuff out there. I just don't think we wrapped our head around yet.
Right. Not yet.
Not yet.
Just that UFOs coming around more, though.
A lot more, and they're being seen underwater now. This is, I really, is it the government or is it ET, man? I don't know.
I got you. All right. So when are we going to meet again, man? Are we going to meet in person again first, or are we going to have another podcast first and then person?
You tell me whatever works better for you, and I'll make it work on my end. Because I'll meet you in person. And I'd love to come back on and talk some more theory and just randomness about the Bigfoot and the clusters, especially. And, you know, especially around Mount Shasta, you know, they have some weird things happen over there. And that's in the Sierra Nevadas, you know, close to Yosemite. So there's a whole bunch of stuff, a can of worms we can get into.
Yeah, the folklore. Yeah. Sir. And you haven't been to the Sierras yet.
I've been through them on driving, but not like not exploring. No, sir.
Dude, all I have to say, there's no mountain range like it. Rockies ain't got nothing on it. There, I hang out in the Sierras, and that's one mountain range, man. If I'm alone, I'm packing.
I understand.
Yeah. You do not want to get caught up. And yeah. And I told you, right? My brother-in-law came up missing in the Sierras, right?
No, sir. I don't believe so.
Yeah, he came up missing. He passed. They found him, but still, you know, unprepared. Unprepared. I knew the site. I know it like the back of my hand. I knew where he was. What he did wasn't very smart, but you know, it happens, man. You know, and so people believe certain things, and you know, things change and they're like, okay, all right, they start opening up a bit. But yeah, shit happens. And that force, that would, the mountain range right there, there's nothing like it in the States, man. Nothing.
And you're exactly right though, and I will go on record as saying at least 90-95% of the people that go missing, there is because they're unprepared or they have some sort of injury and an animal takes them out.
Yeah.
It's one of those two. I would believe 90-95% of the time. It's the other 5% that my mind just can't grasp all the way.
Yeah. I'll send you something so you can know the gist of what had happened and occurred. Somebody did like a whole little theory of themselves and what had occurred, and pretty spot on. So yeah, I'll send it your way.
Sounds good, man. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. But, no, man, I appreciate this conversation, you know, and, people know I'm a social worker. I'm not in the science field, you know. Yes, behaviors is science and everything else, but man, when it comes to like paranormal stuff and theories, I mean, I'm a Freudian, you know.
Gotcha.
Give me some coke, and man, I can think of all kinds of stuff.
Didn't Freud snort enough cocaine to kill a small horse?
Exactly. So, hey, man, you know what I mean? That's the kind of theories I learned and believe, you know, and.
Right.
And deal with. But when it comes to, you know, dimensions and stuff like that, I think the only dimensions I can go in is if I'm under the
influence. I guess shit. Yeah.
So that's why I'm a little skeptical, man. And hopefully, you know, this conversation did make sense and you know, we're in the right area to go on to talk about. What are we going to talk about next, man?
Man, that's a broad topic because I like to talk about a lot of things.
All right.
I really do.
Let's talk about clusters, man. And then aliens eventually down the road.
Because I'd like to get into some Bob Lazar shit.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's talk about the clusters because we did hit on, you know, the truth on that. And I think we do agree more on that. But yeah, let's talk about clusters.
Sounds good to me.
And Crater Lake. Okay. Crater Lake, man. I don't know. I've stayed away from Crater Lake. I've thought about doing the rim, you know, the trail.
The 33 miler. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And it just, I don't know. You never know.
We can't stay away from there. We go back every opportunity we get. We're 3 miles away, 3 hours away from it. And we're, the weather's good, we're there.
Well, that road right there where you guys live to get to 5, man, it's so dangerous.
It is. Yeah,
we've been having a lot of slides lately. Yeah, I don't know how you guys do it. That's more believable than orbs, I believe.
Man, I got a video that we don't know what it is. Yeah. There are two, I call them orbs. We don't know what they are. They're not bugs. I've had somebody say, oh, those are bugs. Oh, bullshit. Those are not bugs. I know what
like
bugs
lightning
are.
Bugs. Like lightning bugs? They don't have lightning bugs up in Pacific Northwest.
No, sir, they don't. But, you know, because it's in front of my house.
Okay.
And I'll have to remember to send it to you. It's strange. It's very strange.
Go down the Siskiyous, man. You don't have to drive that far from it, but go to the Siskiyous. You get the same feeling that you do there. And Crater Lake, same feeling, man.
Okay.
I think Siskiyous, you know, it's so scarce that dude, hardly anybody will go out there and discover as much as they did in Crater Lake. Seriously, go to Siskiyous. It's more isolated and yeah, I think
sure will. Yeah. We haven't got out there yet. We're hoping to this summer. We got a long list of places to go and things to see and.
Okay.
Hopefully run into something. And
have you gone to Smith Rock?
We've been to Smith Rock a couple times. Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you stay at that campground right there? The Skull Hollow or Hollow Skull? Yeah. Skull
Hollow. We didn't stay there. We just day tripped.
You talk about tent camping and hearing shit. I don't care what they say. There's something there too. I spend the night there all the time and it gets quiet. It is so dead when climbers aren't around. Right. And you hear stuff. It's not cows out there. And there's a lot of cows out there.
It's strange. There's I just don't know what else to say besides, man, I just really do think there's something out there.
I got you.
That me and you.
I got you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And one day, maybe it's after we're past.
I'm still thinking of Hood.
Oh, God. That's my dream, man.
Still thinking of Hood, man. So I wanted to do a winter ascent. So I don't know if you're up for that, but definitely want to do a winter one. I wanted to do it in February, but the weather's a lot different right now up there than it is down here. And you just have to have that open blue you know, bluebird day, and it's tough right now. So maybe we can get something going on in the summer or right before summer hits. But I believe they have a permit system now.
Oh my.
Yeah. They had a permit system, but you can go the day before or the day of and go up there.
Okay.
Now you have to pick a day, I believe, and then hope that it doesn't snow or
right.
Yeah, avalanche conditions and stuff like that.
That's still my dream to do Hood. But, it's still my dream.
Okay. All right. So I haven't forgot about you, man. We definitely do that. But I want to do that after the 24-hour run.
Okay.
Deal. I'll give you the dates, man. And did I forget anything? You want to add anything, man?
No, I just want to give another shout out to Brett and Michael, Brett and Jill, my goodness, for allowing me to have my music on their movie. I found their documentaries are just insightful. I loved them. They were the photography was amazing. And I dig the stories, and I just wanted to give them a shout out and just say thank you. Give me an opportunity to have my music on there.
Shout out to Brett, man, and them. So until next time.
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll be in touch, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy.